Okay. How are you feeling today? Good? Anybody feeling great? Now, you don't have to put your hand up, but I know because I love people. I know that there are some people here that are in a storm, that are in a moment of sorrow. And we're talking today in this Holy Week about moving from that sorrow to God's incredible joy. It's the message of Easter, that the sorrow of the cross is replaced with the joy of resurrection. And so I guess if I was going to sum up what I'm going to talk to you today about, it would be this. Don't get stuck in sorrow. Don't get stuck there. It's going to happen. Maybe you're in it right now, but don't get stuck there. The whole Bible is a story of God replacing sorrow with joy. Can you remember, or do you know how the opening act of the Bible, what it looks like? When the Bible opens up in Genesis chapter 1, what's it look like? Everything, yeah, I heard it here. Everything is actually dark and chaotic. That's the opening act. Dark and chaotic. I would even say maybe some sorrow in that darkness, chaos. And what does God say? He replaces the darkness and the chaos with his presence and with his creativity. And he says these words. You know them? Let there be light. And that darkness was replaced with light. And it was incredibly joyous. He created the heavens and the earth, the stars. He created animals. He created man, and then did better than that and created woman. It was awesome. So there's great joy. In fact, God looks at it and goes, man, it's good. So the darkness of sorrow, the joy of creation, next act. The sorrow of rebellion. And that's a cycle that runs all the way through the Bible. Has anybody read the collection of poems and songs that's in the middle of the Bible called Psalms? There's 150 of them. A lot of them written by David. And have you noticed if you read the Psalms, which I encourage you to do, that one psalm will be like really joyous. Like incredible joy, and let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And the next psalm is like, whoa. It's David knew the joy of the Lord, and he knew the sorrow of sin. Cycles. Even famous prophets, there's a prophet named Jeremiah. And one time he gets so filled with sorrow, he says, I'm not going to be a prophet anymore. I don't care if God called me or not. I'm giving it up. I'm throwing in the towel. And then in chapter 20, verse 9, he goes, but I found a new passion. He calls it a fire in his bones. And his sorrow of throwing in the towel is replaced with a rejuvenation of joy. Have you ever read the book of Job? Or maybe you know it as Job. There was just a guy that recently came to the Lord, and I was encouraging him to read the scriptures. I said, hey, it's important you read the word. And the next week I saw him and said, hey, have you been reading the Bible? He says, yeah, I read the book of Job because I need one. I said, if you need one, that's probably not the book you want to be reading. Because Job lost everything. And then, because he kept walking faithfully, he moves from sorrow back into joy. Everything he lost is replaced in abundance to the overflow. There's a cycle. It's like seasons. How many of you really enjoy the seasons? I even had some people say, hey, I love Florida, but I miss the seasons. I said, what are you talking about? We have four seasons. Beautiful, gorgeous, spectacular, and awesome. I love them all. I love our seasons. In fact, this last week, up in the north, snow hanging on the trees, snow, not just like a little dusting, like snow. I don't need that season. Or every 24 hours, there's a cycle. It gets dark, and then it gets light. There's a cycle. And here in Florida, when the sun comes up, you actually can see it. That's for you, those of you from the Ohio Valley, where you can't, it comes up, you can't see it. I think it's out today, I don't know. There's a season. And here's the message. Don't get stuck in sorrow. It's a season. Or as the psalmist said, weeping will endure for a season. Sorrow will endure for a season. But joy is coming in the morning. Even this week, this Holy Week, and on this Palm Sunday weekend, if you take the week, Holy Week that we're in, you find cycle of sorrow. The week kicks off really great, doesn't it? Like we call it the triumphal entry. It kicks off great. And we see the joy of Jesus entering Jerusalem. And the people are filled with joy, man. They are crying out. Matthew tells us that they were shouting out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I would say they were enthusiastic, possibly more enthusiastic than you've been today. Just Selah, think on that, because, I mean, they were taken off their outer coats and creating a red carpet for Jesus, and they were tearing the plants apart, taking down the palm branches, and they were enthusiastically celebrating with great joy. Have you ever been in a church where they actually brought the palm branches in? Yeah, when I was a first-time pastor, I was in a church where the pastors used to sit on the platform during church in a little row. Pastor's row, and behind us was the choir, and they sang right behind us, and one day they gave those people palm branches, and the lady behind me, she was very enthusiastic with her branch. She whacked me on one side of the head, then she came around, got me the other side of the head, and she beat me. Oh, Hosanna! I'm like, shh. Just lighten up on your enthusiasm. So there's the joy of the triumphal entry, but you know what that's replaced with? The sorrow of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. So Jesus goes from this joyous, triumphal celebration of enthusiasm, and then he looks over the city and his heart is broken, and he begins to weep because he says, as he approached Jerusalem, and he saw the city, he wept over it, and he said, if you, even you, had only known that on this day, peace is available, God's presence is available, but you're not getting it. You may be waving the palm branches, but you're not getting the message of peace. And I would say to you, you're here today, it's not enough that you're in church. It's not enough that you sang songs. You've got to have a relationship with the Prince of Peace if you're going to catch what this thing is about. And it broke Jesus' heart that they weren't getting it. Now, when people do get it, when you give your heart to Christ, when you make a commitment to Christ, you know what happens? All of heaven rejoices. Like, there's great joy in heaven. So if you want to make heaven happy today, make a commitment to Jesus Christ. So here's how it goes. Triumphal entry, great joy. Weeping over Jerusalem, sorrow. And throughout Holy Week, there were other moments of joy. I'll just point out one of them. I think it was a joyous occasion when Jesus had the Last Supper and served Holy Communion for the first time. I think that was Jesus with his closest friends that he'd lived with for the last 3 years, like basically 24 hours a day he was with these guys. Have you ever had the joy of eating with close friends? Some of you need friends. You're looking at me like, what you talking about? People get together and eat? Yeah. There's nothing like close friends. And the 12 guys were there. Jesus actually says, hey, I've been waiting for this moment. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. I know I'm going to teach you about my death and my burial, but I want you to know my body's going to be broken, my blood is going to be spilt, but that's not the end. I'm going to eat this meal again with you in the kingdom. You can't tell me that at the Last Supper there wasn't some laughter. You can't get 12 guys together. 12 guys together and not have some laughs. I know you think they were all so holy, they were just sitting around going, We're talking about Peter, come on. We're talking about James and John, the sons of thunder. And their name was for a reason. I'm sure at least there was some laughter when they said, okay, everybody on this side for the picture. I'm sure there was at least some laughter. I'm sure. There was a joyous moment. And from the joy, there's a radical transition from the joy of that first communion where he takes the bread and says, this is my body, it's going to be broken, and this cup is my blood that's going to be spilt out to give you life. They leave the warmth of that room and they go into Gethsemane, and Jesus starts his march towards the cross. And so we go from the joy of the communion room to the sorrow. And it was a sorrowful, probably the hardest hours that any human being has ever lived will be remembered this week during Holy Week. Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, and here's how Jesus describes it. He said, my soul is in anguish. I feel so much sorrow. I feel like I'm dying inside. I feel a sorrow to the point of death. And so he says, guys, I need you to be with me. I need you to stay here, and I need you to keep watch. I need you to pray with me because I really, 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 really need your help. And you know what happened? They fell asleep. And Jesus comes back, and they're sleeping. And then Judas comes with the guards and the soldiers to arrest Jesus. And I'm sure that created sorrow in Jesus' heart to have one of his closest buddies turn him in. Turn against him. And then Peter pulls out his sword. He's not much of a swordsman. He's a fisherman, not a swordsman. And he tries to take on, like, not one of the guards. He just takes out the little servant boy. Okay, I'll get you. He doesn't go after one. There's big guards there. He goes, no, I'm going to get the servant boy. And he tries to cut the guy's head off, but he misses and gets his ear. He was not aiming for his ear. Okay, you get a bad infection a week or two, you could be dead. Jesus says, put your sword away. Come on, Peter, it's not about fighting. We're not going to change the world through fighting. We're going to change the world through the love of God. And he takes the guy's ear up and sticks it back on his head. And that's the first Mr. Potato Head of Scripture. Slap right back on there. And then they take him to the judgment hall. And what all his friends, his closest buddies, where do they all disappear into the night? When Jesus is taken to the judgment hall, he's taken alone. Peter is hanging on the edge, but he's alone. And they play a cruel game with Jesus where they blindfold him and they hit him in the face and they say, Jesus, tell us the name of the person who hit you. And Jesus could have told them the name because he was the divine Son of God. He knew everybody's name. He didn't say anything. And Peter's out in the courtyard, and what's he doing? He's denying he ever knew Jesus. Three times. That breaks the heart of Jesus. It's a moment of sorrow. Jesus is taken before Pontius Pilate. He doesn't know what to do with him. The crowd cries out, give us Barabbas. We don't want this Jesus. Jesus is beaten with the cat of nine tails. Most people died during that beating because it was so intense and there was so much loss of blood. As they wrap the cat of nine tails around the back and they ribboned his back. The depth of sorrow at the cross is not just physical, it's spiritual. They nailed Jesus to the cross, and that hurt physically. But then there comes the moment that Jesus takes the sins, the shame, and the guilt of the sins of the whole world. I don't know about you, but I know sorrow in my life that is the result of sin. And I've had moments in my life that it has been absolute agony because I've rebelled and I felt the sorrow of my sin and it brought me to repentance and to change. But it was an intense moment for me. How about you? Now multiply yours plus times mine, times the person beside you, times all the people in this room, those moments, and then take it all through the history of humanity and lay it on one person in one moment on the cross. Wow. We remember that this week. We remember that Jesus cried out from the cross, "It's finished." And his spirit left his body, and his work on the cross was finished, but his work wasn't finished. Because don't miss this. The sorrow of the cross is replaced with the message of the open tomb. That's good news. Come on, somebody. That's good news. That is good news. That's this week too. So while we're thinking of the sorrow of the cross, we know, the joy. In fact, Jesus said, and he was with his disciples, he was preparing them for that moment. He said, "Hey, you're with me right now," in John 16. "You're with me right now, but then you're not going to see me. And when you don't see me, it's going to create great sorrow. You're going to feel sorrow in your heart. But hang on, I'm making a comeback. And when you see me again, you are going to have a joy that no one will ever be able to take away from you." So we just took like Holy Week, and I want you to see there's a cycle in Holy Week. Sorrow to joy to sorrow to joy. I bet you if we took your last week, I bet you if we drilled down on your last week, we could find some sorrow, and we could find some joy, and we could find some sorrow. I bet you maybe you said this last week has been a really good week, or it's been a really bad week. It's been mostly joy or mostly sorrow. If we went back the last month, I bet you we could find that cycle. It starts in Genesis, and it goes through all God. I just want you to be aware that your humanity, how many human beings we have here today? It's part of humanity. It's part of your humanity that you will have a season of sorrow. But don't get stuck there. Because every time you get into a season of sorrow, and many of them are created because of our sin and our rebellion or somebody else's sin and rebellion, when you get in that season of sorrow, hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Come on, come on. There is something better for you. There is a joy for you." And I just want to take and quickly just give you these from Palm Sunday's message. What happened on Palm Sunday? Just three things about Palm Sunday that helped to bring us back to joy. Now, we went over some last week, and if you weren't here for last week's message, get it by CD or get it by internet or by get it, because last week's message, we talked about how Paul found joy in the midst of jail. It's possible to be in very sorrowful situations and yet find joy. In fact, Paul says it's joy times joy. Joy times joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So if you didn't get last week's message, you really missed it. But you can catch up. But it was amazing. I'll just tell you, it was amazing live. Probably the best message I ever preached. And when those angels showed up on the platform right beside me, that was amazing. I don't know if you missed that. The cameras couldn't get that. Well, let's look at Palm Sunday. And I'm going to give you three things that will help always pull you out of sorrow. First one is this. Focus on the goodness of God. Focus on the goodness of God. The story of Palm Sunday is imperfect people praising God. And when I said they're praising, they were really praising. In fact, they were praising at such a loud volume that it disturbed the religious folk. You know you're doing good then. You know you're having a good praise when the religious people are upset. Some of you look, Yeah, the Pharisees, they said, Jesus, these disciples, these followers of yours, they're just a little too much today. You need to tell them to tone it down. Jesus, you need to rebuke your disciples. Because they're just going on, and it's too much, God. Or they didn't call him God, they call him Jesus. I call him God. And here's Jesus' answer. I love his answer. Hey, if they tone it down, the very rocks are going to shout out. Here, let me give you this one. When you are in a season of sorrow, remember the rocks. This shifts our emotions. Praise is a key to joy. And you don't wait till you have joy to praise. You praise before you got joy. You don't wait and go, okay, I'm not feeling it today, Scott. I'm not going to sing today. I'm going to watch other people. No. Learn from this crowd of people. And Jesus says, if you're not going to do it, the rocks are going to get involved. I have on my desk, and I brought it with me, I have a rock, a small stone that I keep on my desk. It has two scriptures on it. One is John 8. And if I'm ever sinless, I get to throw this at someone. That's a whole other message. And sometimes I have to pick it up and go, no, you can't, not yet. Can't throw this yet. But the other is Luke 19. Because sometimes when a negative email comes by or a negative phone call comes by or a conversation, I have to go, whoa, 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 whoa. I am not letting you outpraise me. And I consciously decide, before the rocks cry out, I'm going to praise him. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. Hosanna to the Lord in the highest. Lord, you are doing things I don't even understand. I praise you for that. I lift my voice and I just start to praise him. Because focusing on the goodness of God is better than focusing on the badness of people. Which one are you focusing on? I'm just calling you to focus on the goodness of God. And let me tell you this, you don't have to be perfect to do this. The crowd, the Palm Sunday crowd, they were fickle as all get out. The same crowd that said, hey, Hosanna, a few days later were saying, hey, hang him, crucify him. The ones that were celebrating Christ said, we don't want Christ, give us Barabbas. So this was a fickle crowd. And Jesus could have turned to them and said, hey, you guys are kind of hypocritical anyway. I know you guys should really just be quiet because you don't. No. Jesus, no. He actually encouraged them. I don't know if you're with me, but if I'm standing there and I watch the religious dudes come up to Jesus and they tell Jesus, hey, tell them to tone it down. And Jesus, hey, if these people be quiet, the rocks are going to cry out. I don't know about you, but I'm gonna get a little bit louder. Can we do that in church? Yes! That's the point. Somebody let a hallelujah roll. Hallelujah. It's good for your soul. The goodness of God nurtures the joy of the Lord. Second thing I want to just say is this, that you've got to know how to lay down your life for others, how to give love to others. And Jesus is very aware of that. When Jesus is walking in Jerusalem, he recognizes, hey, the crowd is fickle, but I'm not doing this for the crowd. I'm doing this for the ones who will give their hearts to me. Hebrews chapter 12 says it like this. We need to focus on Jesus. That always helps raise your joy. Focus on Jesus. He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. So when he was walking the Via Della Rosa, carrying that cross that he could not carry because he was so physically wiped out by that point, he was thinking of people like you who would join the family of God. And in the midst of his sorrow, it was giving him joy. He was laying down his life, and that brought him joy in the midst of a very hard moment in his life. And let me tell you this, when you're in a very hard moment, a very hard season, ask yourself this question, How can I lay down my life for others? Because often when we're sorrowful, it's all about us. No amens, but that's just the truth. I'm just sorry about that. It just is. Everybody here knows how to throw a pity party. And it's all about you. Here's what Jesus flips it. Jesus flips it with his great love and says, no, it's not about you. It's about others. It's about loving others. In fact, how can I lay down my life to help others? In fact, this one, most sorrow that we have, not all, but most sorrow that we have comes because we're in conflict with someone. Check that out. And if you ask yourself this question, it will revolutionize everything. When you're in conflict with a person, you ask this question: how can I lay down my life for them? Again, no amens, but I'm preaching. I am preaching here. That's it. Did Jesus lay down his life for good people? He laid down his life for me. I'm a scoundrel, a scallywag. I need his grace. I sometimes feel more than anybody. And he gave his life for me, and I'm so thankful for that. And if he gave his life for me, a scoundrel, a scallywag, a sinner, then I need to learn how to give that grace to others. It changes everything. You start serving others, you start laying down your life, you start giving love to others, especially even your enemies, you disarm them, and all of a sudden, the joy of your soul rises up. And then the third thing I'm just going to point out is this: you need to make place for prayer. An important moment in the triumphal entry is not just when they ripped down the branches and when they laid their cloaks on the ground. An important moment in the triumphal entry is what Jesus did when he entered the city. He went to the temple and he found a courtyard that was supposed to be a courtyard used for prayer, but it had become a place of business. And what does Jesus do when he gets into that courtyard? He clears it out. He drives them out. He says, my house should be called a house of prayer. Now, let me just say this, to apply this. If your week gets too filled with business, if your agenda, your calendar has too much busyness, and there's no room for prayer, you will find yourself stuck in sorrow. What you need to do is make a place for prayer. That's what Jesus was doing. When he cleared the courtyard, he said, hey, I've got to get the business out of this place of prayer, and it's not even good business, it's corrupt business. I've got to clear that corrupt business out so I can create a place and a space for prayer. Now, this Holy Week, let me encourage you. Maybe get up a little bit earlier and say, Lord, I'm giving you this place for prayer this morning. Holy Week, I'm giving you this 15 minutes, this 30 minutes, this extra hour. I'm giving you this time. I want to create a place for prayer in my morning so that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Got it? Got it? Good. Now I'm going to say one more thing and then we're going to pray, because the book of Genesis begins this cycle. Sorrow to joy, to sorrow to joy, to sorrow to joy, to sorrow to joy. And it's part of humanity. But let me tell you, one day, it's all going to end. And when we come to the last book of the Bible, the cycle is finally broken. Because as long as we live in this world, Jesus said, you'll have tribulation, you'll have sorrow. As long as you live in this world, that's going to happen. But there's coming a day when there will be no more sorrow. And I want to leave you with this verse, because it's coming. The cycle is going to end. It's not eternal. Jesus will wipe away every tear. And he's going to wipe away all death. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more crying. There's going to be no more pain. All these things are gone, and they're gone forever. Let the church say amen. That's good news. That's good news. So let me invite you, we're going to close our eyes for a moment of prayer, and I want to make a very important invitation for everyone that's here, especially if you've been far away from God, not walking with Jesus, that I want to invite you to walk closer to Jesus. I want you to invite you that Jesus would be your Savior and Jesus would be your Lord. And I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. And if you would say to me, Scott, that's the kind of prayer I need. I need to be closer to God. I need to be walking with Him. I need to make a commitment to Christ today. I want to be part of that prayer. I'm going to ask you to do two things. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up high enough for me to see it. And I want you to lift your eyes until we make eye contact, because you matter to God, you matter to us. But this is a moment for you to make a new beginning and a fresh start. And you'd say, Scott, that's me. Put your hand up high enough for me to see it. Yeah, right. Can you lift your eyes? I just want to see your eyes. Can I see your eyes? God bless you. Thank you for that. And thank you for that. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're here today. I see you right there, buddy. Thank you. Thank you. And over there and over there. Yeah, I want to see that. Thank you. This is looking in this section right now. Yeah. Very. Thank you. Anybody over here in this section right here? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, pal. Glad you're here today. Thank you. God bless you. Glad you're here. Fresh start for you, man. New beginning for you. New beginning. Thank you. Thank you so very much. On this side, just put your hand up high so I want to miss you. Yeah, thanks, pal. Glad you're here today. Fresh start for you. New beginning. You and Jesus, man. This far section over here. Yeah, come on. You guys need to invite more friends. I always tell you that over here, this section, you need to invite more. Invite your friends. Hey, Easter. Easter, we want to fill this place with people who need life change. We need you to help us do that. And next week, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to say, hey, you need life change. You need Jesus. You need to walk with Jesus. I'm going to say the same thing. Let's pray together, because this kind of prayer changes everything. Let's stand. We're going to do this prayer. Let's stand together. And close your eyes. And even if you didn't put your hand up, but you knew you should, this is your moment. You can say this prayer. I'm going to ask everybody to say it. It's a life-changing prayer. Jesus said, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and your life will change. So here's our believing in our heart. Here's our confession with our mouth. Our prayer team is coming and we're praying this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, pray it out loud. Good, strong voice. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name because I need your grace. I turn away from my sins and I repent of them. And I turn towards you, Father. And I receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Thank you for loving me. Give me a brand new start. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise for that. That's a good prayer, guys. That's the best prayer people pray. It is. Awesome. Awesome prayer. Now, our prayer team is here. And all those that are making a commitment to Christ, just tell somebody. Come up to the prayer team and say, hey, I prayed with Scott. Mean business with God. I want you to confirm it. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. So it's important you tell somebody your testimony. It's important you get baptized as well. We're baptizing the Wednesday after Easter. So that's coming up. Sign up for baptism. You're new, making a fresh start. Baptism, Wednesday after Easter for that. And then you guys that are love Jesus, whatever the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart, our prayer team is here. So here's your question right now. Lord, what do I need? Lord, what do I need? And then gather together with our prayer team that we can pray with you and for you that your life will change. And while the prayer team is ministering and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are flowing through them, the communion tables are going to open. And there's a communion table on the right-hand side, the left-hand side, and I invite you to come. You don't have to be a member of this church, just a friend of Jesus. Come and remember that Jesus gave his life, the broken bread, the cup of the Lord, and say, thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me. And Jesus, I'm looking forward to having communion with you someday in your house. Amen. If you've been a guest with us today, we're so blessed that you've come. We really are so blessed you've come. And we just want you to stop by our hospitality room. It's a VIP center. It's over there. It's got the blue sign on it. And we'd like to give you some stuff and just bless you, get to know you. We want to help your spiritual journey. We believe that God has an awesome plan for your life. And we want to see you fulfill it. I'm going to pray one blessing. After the blessing, there's no other benediction. But come for prayer. Come for communion. The worship team will lead us. And we just lift up the Lord Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. So close your eyes. Lord, I just bless my friends, my brothers, and my sisters. I ask, Lord, that you will move by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit just come upon now our prayer team. Holy Spirit come upon them right now to flow through them in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for the communion tables. We bless the bread. We bless the cup of the Lord. And may we walk closer to Jesus and commune with you today and every day. Bless my friends, my brothers and sisters. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in God, that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in the strong, mighty, majestic name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And all God's people say, amen. Let's give the Lord an ovation. Good to be together, guys. Love you so much. Come forward for prayer and communion, worship with the worship team, and the grace of the Lord be with you.